Hey Tucker, thanks so much for being here.
Glad to be with you, Deepak.
I wanted to ask you a set of rapid fire questions. Do you get energized by politics or policy?
That's a very good question. I don't have an easy way out and say both, but in some ways both. So I can tell you that for whatever reason, I was bit by the political bug at a young, early age. So I am very energized, as you put it, or passionate about politics. But on the other side, I would say I do get, I'm very passionate about policy as well, particularly as it impacts the people I represent, and certain areas of expertise, or interest for sure. I've kind of found a way of kind of really being involved in small business and kind of the policies that go along with that, regulation, tax related issues, licensure laws. Also been very passionate about workforce development, things of that nature. So when it comes into those particular policy areas, I'm very passionate about that as well.
Okay, great answer. The next question I have for you is, if you had the opportunity to change a state government process, what would you change?
That's an interesting question. So most of my work is in the state of Georgia, and we follow a 40-day legislative session here in Georgia. That's typically in the first part of the calendar year, January, February, March. I know some states will have year-long legislatures, or they'll do kind of seasonal, maybe have one part in the first part of the year, come back later in the fall or whatever it may be. I think it's a double-edged sword. Certainly when the clock runs out, if you haven't been able to get something you're really passionate about or that's very important to your clients, that's maybe a pressing issue, you'd like a little more time. Unfortunately, that's just not the reality here in Georgia. Once those 40 legislative days are up, you're going to have to wait till the following year. But there's advantages of that too. I mean, because everyone knows the format, everyone knows the time frame. It's very fair in that regard, and it can play to your advantage too. If there's, if you're playing defense, things you're trying to stop, if you can ride out those 40 days, you can catch your breath for till the next session. That would be something. Like I said, I don't know that I would actually change the time that the legislature is in here in Georgia, but if anything, like I said, that's something that comes to mind. And probably another thing that would come to mind is the amount of legislation that's introduced during a session. I think most people would be surprised that aren't involved in the process at how many pieces of legislation are introduced every year, how many bills, how many resolutions. I mean, here in 2023 in Georgia, we had almost 2,400 pieces of either bills or resolutions introduced in this state. That's a lot of things for us to read and review and make sure that it's not going to negatively impact our members. So it's a lot of legislation to look at. And I know that in particular, sometimes you'll have legislators that will introduce hundreds of bills in a session. And I hate to say, almost wish there could be some type of cap placed on that. It's something that's entered my mind when I'm during session late at night, when I'm reading through hundreds of bills that have been dropped that probably will never see the light of day, and some of them probably shouldn't ever see the light of day.
Can you tell us, did when you got into this field of government relations, did anything specifically surprise you?
I think it surprised me at how involved lobbyists or advocates are in the process, how much access, I guess you would say, we do have to the perfecting, crafting, drafting of legislation to make sure that we are implementing good policy. And I don't say that I was surprised in a derogatory way. I think really when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. So the advocates or the lobbyists for particular industries, they are that industry's expert. That's what's expected of them. And, you know, as a legislator, you know, legislators have a background. They have that they come from, but they can't be an expert on every issue in every industry that they have put before them. So they really rely on the industry experts, the advocates, the lobbyists that represent those organizations or industries to be the experts in the room when it comes to crafting legislation. So I think it's a good thing. And I think it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. I just remember being a little surprised when I first started. It was almost kind of like, you know, pinch yourself moment when you do get to be in those rooms where serious conversations are being had about policy and, you know, somebody looks to you and asks your opinion on it. Or when a legislature comes to you for the first time and says, "Hey, this bill, I think impacts your industry. What do you think? Is this good? Is this bad? I want your opinion." That's a lot of responsibility to bear. But again, it makes sense. And it's part of that balance of good government and of hopefully good policy.
And how do you keep up to date with whatever is happening in your field?
That's a very good question. And that's something that's changing constantly. It's another big part of our job that I think people may not always see or understand is, again, we are expected. It's a great responsibility. And I think we're expected to be experts in our fields, in our industries, the people we represent. So we have to rely a lot on our clients, on our members, on the people we advocate for to educate us to the issues they're seeing firsthand, they're experiencing, how it impacts their business, how it impacts their lives. We have to rely heavily on them and constantly working and staying up to date. And then I think a lot of, you know, I try to be very involved with professional organizations, with good reputable organizations in the fields or industries that I represent. So I'm always trying to educate myself and see what's going on, what the latest things are, what the latest trends are. You know, I think it's constant education.
Okay. And what is the best compliment you have ever received?
That's an interesting question. I can't point to a specific comment, I guess, but I think when your colleagues, because I think those are the people that get to know you the best and get to know the work ethic that you demonstrate and the integrity and you know, knowledge you have. I think certainly some of the best feelings I've had or compliments I've had has been when a colleague, as in another lobbyist or another advocate, has recognized the work that I've done, you know, and been complimentary in that regard, as far as wanting to work with me on whether it be through a coalition or wanting to work with me on legislation, because they've seen and recognized the work that I've been able to do.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say this may be hard to pick just one. I don't know what the rules are. Can I have more than one?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do. I really like an old football movie. I'm a big football fan, so there are several football movies I really like. I really like Remember the Titans. I really like Varsity Blues, which is a little bit more of a comedy kind of football movie from the 90s. I also like a little action. So, and I'll tie in politics since this is a political podcast. Maybe White House down or something like that. So.
Cool. Good choices. The next question I have for you is, what is it the one thing you want your family to remember about you?
I would hope they remember that, remember me as someone who worked hard, who was principled, honest, someone of integrity, someone that loved his family, loved his community, and the people he worked with, and loved life, and tried to do right by all that he encountered, all the people he encountered, and upheld, I guess, my family name.
Nice. If you had the opportunity to have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would they be?
Dead or alive, I would say the three people. I'm a political junkie, so I would say Ronald Reagan would be one that I would like the opportunity to have dinner with him. I would like to have he's controversial, but I'll use him anyway. I think he's so fascinating, Donald Trump. He's so fascinating. I'd like to be around him just to see what he's like. And the other one, I would say is my great grandfather. He was a World War II veteran and really lived a fascinating life. He was in business and did a lot of different things, really kind of an American dream story. And he died when I was a small baby, and I've heard many really neat stories about him. So I think I would like to get, I'd like to have met him and had the opportunity to hear some of his stories.
Nice. With that, we jump a little bit into your past. Can you please tell us, where did you grow up? Did you have a passion towards politics from your childhood?
So I grew up in North Georgia in Pickens County, about an hour north of Atlanta, kind of the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, in a small town, rural community. I still live in Pickens County. The only time I moved away was when I was at college at the University of Georgia, and I lived 4 years in Athens. But other than that, I have been here in Pickens County, and I love it very much. The second part of your question, I'm sorry. Oh, politics, I'm sorry, at a young age. Yes, I was. I think I indicated that earlier. I did have a passion and interest in politics from a young age. I don't really know honestly where that came from. My family, none of them were in politics or elected office or anything of that nature. My grandfather, who has kind of been my role model and still is, he was very civically involved. He was very involved in community and helping local organizations. And I remember him, he was somebody that was just always very informed. I remember him from a young age reading the paper, watching the nightly news. And I wanted to do everything he did. And so I remember getting interested in watching the news from a young age and reading the paper from a young age, I mean, small child. And I think that's where I began to take interest in politics. And he was also very involved in the professional organization of his industry. And they would have an advocacy day at the Capitol every year, and he would attend. And when I got around about probably 4 or 5 years old, he would take me with him. And so I have memories going to the Georgia State Capitol as a little boy with him, and kind of getting a glimpse into that world and seeing the elected officials and the people around the building. That was at a time I didn't even know what a lobbyist was, but I remember, I think, being in that environment, seeing and consuming political activity through the news. So I think it really kind of sparked an interest in me from a young age. And and it followed with me and only grew as I grew. So
nice. And did you you know, have that passion to continue? Which degree did you get?
So I did study political science at, you know, I was a business major and then political science at UGA. And I did see that passion grow. I actually ended up, while I was in college, I actually ran for Board of Education in my home county. I was elected. Actually, I won the race and I became the youngest elected school board member in the state of Georgia. And so I had about 2 years of office left in college at the start of my term on the Board of Education. So I actually did get into local politics, elected office, and I did serve a full term and learned many, many lessons from that. And that, again, only as my life continued, my involvement and passion for politics and policy, as you said earlier, only.
And during your college years, was there anything which, you know, sparked your interest in government relations at all, or when did that happen?
Yeah, so that's actually exactly when my political interest or career interest kind of shifted into government affairs was in college. Going through the programs at UGA, I learned more about government affairs. I learned about lobbyists. I learned about more of the behind the scenes aspects of politics, the things you don't always think of at the forefront of your mind, the more tedious, I guess, work and the players behind the scenes. And so that sparked an interest. And then it's also a time when an individual who had been a mentor to me somewhat throughout my life, that kind of grew while I was in college. He had a government affairs firm and had been a lobbyist and a former elected official and had been in this industry for nearly 50 years. And he reached out to me one day while I was in college out of the blue and tried to gauge my interest in government affairs and talked to me a little more about what he did. Because even though I'd known him and he had been a mentor, we'd really never got into the nuts and bolts of what he did. And it was in that time that I did he did take me under his wing, and I did begin to take more notice into the work he did. And ultimately, I went to work with him some part-time as I finished my degree. And then he brought me on in a full-time role when I graduated from the university. And it was he that I worked under until I went out on my own on his retirement.
Oh, I see. And so your first venture out of your college was straight into government relations?
It was. So out of college, yes. Now I had a venture of sorts during college was on the local level. I was on the school board. I was elected, as I told you earlier, in that time. But I also went to work as a summer intern for my local board of commissioners. And that summer internship turned into a 4-year part-time position. And I worked for them in a number of areas, public and community relations, special projects, learned under many of the different departments. And so I learned a really great grasp of local government and local politics that really impacted me and has helped me in my career. But again, that was all during college. But yes, when I graduated, I went to work right in to work for a government affairs firm.
Okay. How so? When you said, like, you know, it has really impacted or shaped your career, could you just expand a little bit on that?
Yeah. On the local side, I think I learned a lot more about the true workings of government on a day-to-day basis. And by that, I mean everything from the speed of government to the need for transparency, the need for accountability, the different checks and balances, interacting with the public, the different kind of perspectives you have to have in government compared to a private business per se. You know, remembering that you know you're using government funds, taxpayer money. Again, there's a lot more accountability, checks and balances through elected officials, through you know, different types of regulations, which are all positive things. But I think for someone not that's never been in government, it can be hard for them to understand. It can be frustrating at times as well. I mean, it's some of the things you hear about, people talk about, you know, being frustrated with the bureaucracy of sorts of government, the speed at which things go. And you know, again, it's a double-edged sword. There's pros and cons to that. There certainly, when you need to move quickly on something, or you want to try and something that seems or is common sense and try and get things done, you know, it can be frustrating. But at the same time, I think there are certain measures in place and hurdles in place that can also be a good thing that tries to limit government and what they can do and how they can do things. And again, being transparent to the public. So I think that was the main things that has helped my career. Being that I do work in government still on the government affairs side, me having that understanding of a better understanding of government and kind of the perspective to a degree of these elected officials. Certainly I'm not in their position, but I've been in elected office before and I work very closely with elected officials and trying to help them in the work they perform. I think it allows me to view their perspective a little greater than maybe some people.
And would you say, what would you say would be the right ideal step for someone to get into government relations?
So, you know, that's a great question. I think there's no one path. I think there's many avenues that you can get on. But I think one thing is certain is you've got to get in this world somehow, whether that be at the local, state, federal level, whichever level, whichever avenue you go, whether it be serving as as an intern, serving as an administrative aide, you know, policy aide, whatever that may be, whether it be for a government affairs firm, whether it be for an elected official working for state government, working in the governor's office, you know, the White House, congressional office, whatever it may be, I think you got to get in there. You got to get in the middle of everything and begin to learn and see what this life is all about, what this industry is all about. I would say that would be my first step is for anyone looking to get in, because it is unlike any other profession, I think, and it's unlike any other world. It's and, you know, some people love it and thrive in it. I've seen some people get into it and hate it, and you know it's not for them. Probably the same like any other job, but I think that's the best step is you've got to find a door to get into. And I think again, it doesn't matter which level or which avenue you take. I know many people, and I think they do very well. And I think ideally, this would be great is if you can do both. I know many people who have. Been, for example, maybe like an aide to a House member. And then after doing that for a year or two, they leave and go work for a government affairs firm. So they get to see both sides of the process and, you know, get the experience on both sides. And I think, you know, that can help in diversifying somebody's abilities and also kind of give them maybe a better idea of what they would want in their career. Because some people like to be on the bureaucratic government side. Some people like to be on the private side in government affairs.
And now you are the executive director, is that right, at the Conditioned Aid Association of Georgia. Can you tell a little bit about what that association is all about and what is your role there?
That's correct. So I have my own government affairs association management firm. And of course, one of the great clients that I have the opportunity to work with is the Conditioned Air Association of Georgia. And in our role of representing them, I have been appointed to serve as their executive director. And so we handle all government affairs. I know that's the main focus of this podcast. I'm the registered lobbyist for the association, and we work with state agencies. We work with state legislature, local governments, on behalf of our members, on behalf of these small businesses, to make sure basically in just, we want to make sure that we have a business friendly environment. We want to make sure that we have common sense regulation, not over regulation. We want to have a good tax environment that these businesses have the opportunity to succeed and thrive. And, you know, and we also step in and try and help them when they have issues on the regulatory side, when they have issues with permitting, inspections, licensure, and things of that nature. So there's a lot of things we do on behalf of our client and on behalf of our members. And it's just a great, really joy for me to represent them. I have a big heart. My family is in small business, so I have a big heart for small businesses and that are you know, trying to live the American dream. They're trying to employ people in their communities and provide good services to consumers. I take great pride in being able to represent them and try and, again, like the things I outlined, make sure that there's the environment is so that they can succeed.
And could you tell us a little bit about any favorite issue which you worked on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one thing I'm very passionate about is workforce development. We have a great, great gap in the positions open here in Georgia in the trades in the construction industry versus the people that are going into those. They're leaving the trade at a much faster pace than they're coming into the trade. It's a big issue. I don't think that it's something that's we see all over the country. It's not isolated by any means. Most industries are having a workforce shortage, most areas of the country. And it's something I'm very passionate about, one, because of the people I represent, and I know it's a big issue for them. Two, I got a little taste of this from my experience on the Board of Education. You know, we work very closely with education policy. We work very closely with trying to get students not only college ready, but career ready. And I think it's something that's an important message I get passionate about advocating for, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with a student that doesn't go to college. There's nothing wrong with going to a tech school or going into a some type of trade school or, you know, learning a trade, making sure that they can go into a career, good paying careers, right out of school, is something I'm passionate about. And not only is it beneficial to the students and to those young people, but it's beneficial to our industries. We need those people in those positions. We need good HVAC technicians. We need good carpenters and plumbers and welders and nurses and so on and so forth to fill many, many vital roles in our communities. So workforce development is something I'm very passionate about. We've worked very closely with appropriations, trying to get more funding on the educational side into career academies and tech schools and to the vocational education areas. Working with apprenticeship programs, working with kind of career days and educating young people about the opportunities they have too beyond traditional college. And again, it's nothing against traditional college. I went to college, but it's I think showing that there are more paths than just one and more opportunities than just one.
And with that, we move on to the last segment where you get the opportunity to speak about your future. I mean, where would you like to see yourself 5, 10, 15 years down the line? Or if you'd like to share anything which we might have missed out on, like any advice you would like to share, do's and don'ts of gone-on relations, anything goes here.
I'll start with some advice, I would say. For anyone getting into government affairs, for anyone getting into this industry, no one is as capable on their own as they think they are. No one's as smart as they might think they are. No one can do everything on their own. And the quicker you learn that, the better off you'll be. It's important to collaborate. It's important to work with people. It's important to engage in dialogue and build relationships, not only with legislators and folks in the political arena, but with other colleagues, with other people in the profession. Build relationships and lean on one another. You know, there's often times where I'll experience something or I'll call on, someone that I've been able, another lobbyist I've been able to build good rapport with, you know, and that many are friends. And I'll say, you know, hey, what are your thoughts on this? Or have you ever experienced this? And vice versa, I've had them call me and, you know, have you heard anything about this issue? Or what do you know about this? You know, those type of relationships are very important. And I think anytime that you can build coalitions, that you can, again, collaborate with people, the better off not only you'll be, but I think probably the better policy will be too, when you get more people involved and looking at things from different perspectives. So again, I just encourage that type of engagement in government affairs. And the other thing I'll say is I had many people tell me early on, and it's something that I always try to keep front of mind, and that your word is everything in this industry. You have to be very mindful of that, because most of what we do, again, it's your word. You're going off of your credibility, your reputation. And so be very mindful and don't do anything that could make people not trust you or believe the things that you say. You want people to know when you give your thoughts or opinion on something that they can take credence in what you say. So I think that would be the advice I give. As far as me, I love the work I do. I love the opportunity to work with, again, small businesses, with good people that are trying to do the right thing and work hard and want to do things the legal and ethical way. It's my great honor to represent them, and I'm very passionate and I take the responsibility very seriously. I love being in the political arena, but having the opportunity to influence policy and work with people, hopefully to better our communities and better people's lives. I love my job and what I'm able to do. As far as my future, you know, I guess twofold. On one hand, as long as I'm doing what I'm doing, I hope that I'm being a positive impact, that I'm continuing to grow and build relationships and serve more people if I can, and do more good and hopefully put out more positive policy and things for people in Georgia or around the country. That's my goal, to be as impactful and effective as long as I can. Beyond that, you know, I don't know. Right now, I love what I do, as I said, and I'm passionate about what I do. I've had a taste of elected office, and it was a rewarding experience too. It's a tough position to be in, but it's rewarding in its own way, and I'm grateful for that opportunity that I had to serve. You know, I don't know if elected office is in my future again or not. I'm kind of in a position now where I'm of the feeling that I'm just going to trust in the plan and bigger than me. And if a door opens, hopefully I'll have enough sense to walk through it. That's kind of how my life's been. I've been very blessed. You know, I've had a lot of doors, a lot of opportunities present themselves, and luckily I've had enough sense when they did to take advantage of them and to walk through those doors And I just hope that I'll continue to kind of take that outlook, and wherever things lead me, I'll trust in that.
Tucker, I think that's a wonderful way to end this amazing conversation. Tucker, I'm pretty sure with the passion and the ethics you have, I can clearly see that no matter what you do in the future, it'll definitely have a positive impact, not only for small businesses, but all the communities around you. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity and educating people about government affairs.